Yes. Okay. So we began to discuss last week, actually, which was 2 weeks ago, for those of you who are watching. Right, we had Tisha B'Av last week. That was correct.
Right.
So the story is as follows: that there is a concept that most questions come up in terms of things that get asked to the rabbi in terms of confusing milchig and fleishig. So let's just do a little bit of a background here. So what we said is follows: we said that there's no such thing as a milchig pot, because pots aren't made out of milk and pots aren't made out of meat. Pots tend to be made out of metal, and people don't eat the metal. Okay? So therefore, there's no such thing. When we refer to a milchig pot, what do we mean? We mean a pot that
is dairy things in.
Right. And what happens when you cook dairy things in it?
It absorbs.
It absorbs. And that's okay. That's fine and dandy. However, that's all good until you cook something else in it. And then after, when you're cooking that something else, the milk that was previously absorbed goes and gets pushed into
the next thing.
Into the next thing. So if I make myself a nice hot cocoa, which is milchix, and then afterwards I'm going to make myself a nice chicken soup, right? Because that's what we like to have on Sundays. You know, first we go home from skating, then we have a little hot cocoa, and then afterwards I'm going to go and have a little chicken soup for dinner, right? That's going to be a problem, because the hot cocoa residue is going to go back into the chicken soup. And that would be a problem, right? Now, so that is what we taught. That is a standard question. Rabbi, I accidentally cooked my soup in a milchig pot, right? So that's what it means. A milchig pot means that it was used for that. Now, what are the rules when it comes to... Now, let's go for a simpler case. Let's take a step back. Let's say I was making my cream of chicken soup, and I decide I'm going to use, in order to creaminate it, I'm going to go pour in some soy milk, right? Because I know I can't put milk in it. I'm going to put my almond milk in. I'm going to put my soy milk. I'm going to put my cashew milk in.
Is it par?
Well, I thought it was.
But it says OUD on it.
But then I see it says OUD on it. Oh, my goodness.
It says now, if you go to Starbucks.
Now what am I going to do? Now it says OUD on it. Now I am in what's called in Latin gahak de tzaris. So what am I going to do now? So what's the rule? What? Oh, that's what I'm going to do right away.
Dairy?
I always get a busy number.
There's a difference if it's really dairy or if it's dairy equipment and para.
You can make cocoa with it, babe.
No.
Right. No.
Right,
I'm making cream of chicken soup, and I poured in what I thought was. So, what says? Does anyone know what would the rule be in that case? What are we throwing away food for? How much milk came in?
Not much.
Let's not get carried away here. You know, I've been slaving over the stove for hours, and right away you're telling me to throw it out. You rabbis, you're always like this. You don't care about women.
So.
What? Okay. Right. So I'm going to ask you, well, how much do you know? Right. How big is your chicken soup, and how much of the what you thought was fake milk do you put in? And if so, let's say I have a gallon of chicken soup and I put in 2 ounces of dairy creamer.
Right. And then that's 64 ounces.
A gallon's how many ounces?
64.
A gallon is how many ounces?
Oh, it's not. It's 128.
A gallon is how many ounces?
128.
No, wait.
Yeah,
it's
128.
No,
it's
32
times 4.
What? So
four quarts is
the ounce. Right. Times 8. Whatever 64
times 4. It was 120.
128.
Right, and I would posit that 16 times 8 is the same number,
mm-hmm.
Right? So, okay, so now, okay, let's go back to my question. 2 ounces of dairy creamer fell into my gallon of chicken
You're
soup.
You're okay.
Why am I okay?
Because it's less than
1/60th. It's less than 1/60th, right. And there is a rule called batel b'shishin. If it's more than 60 times, the amount gets... Now, let's say... accidentally, instead of pouring in my non-dairy cream into my chicken soup, I put in 2 ounces of lard.
Ooh.
Oh, no.
No, no, I did. I mean, no.
It's not okay.
Why not?
I was going to say, what's the diff?
What's the diff?
What's the diff?
What's the diff?
Because. Did I just make that up?
Yes, you did.
What was the rest of what she said?
What?
Trait and something
Mashahu. She made it up. You have to ask her. I mean, there's no such thing. I can't really talk about something that's so modern that was made up 3 minutes ago. But I'm more of a traditionalist myself. So, in fact, it's not like me to argue with my wife in public, especially when
I'm sorry. I meant
chametz. So my wife said, if you put lard into your chicken soup, it becomes chametz. I would disagree. I don't think it's chametz.
It's only
what the
chemistry says.
I'm not a chemist, to quote Carol, but in fact, it is kosher. It is kosher. This idea of batel b'shishim, if it's less than 1/60, in fact, that applies in all cases of liquids. So again, if a liquid falls into another liquid, whether it's a matter of milk into meat or meat into milk, or treif into kosher, but not chametz, right? Which one, right? Right? Right, that we're not discussing.
But only
right?
Accidentally.
Correct. Only accidentally. That's a very important point, right? So, for example, if I would have a product, and the product is 99% kosher, 99.44% kosher, right? And but it's 0.56% not kosher, can I eat it? But it's less than 1/60.
But you know about it.
I know about my pig falling in also.
Given it was an
accident. Okay, right? So again, if they do it, there's a rule of ein mevatlin iser lechachila. I cannot purposely put something in, but if it accidentally falls in, then as long as it's 1/60 or less, then in fact it is okay. That is the rule. Now, with that background, now again, when it comes to, that's only with liquids. Regarding solids, let's say I had, we discussed this last time, let's say I had 100 kosher salamis. And then one treif salami falls in, and they don't have wrappers, and they all look alike.
We can eat them all. I'm sorry, how many did you start?
We start with 100, and one fell in. So Patty could eat 101 salamis at that point. Right, and
I don't know which is treif and which is...
So there's the discussion. If you could, can you eat 100 of these or 100 or one of these?
101.
Even though you know you just ate a treif salami.
I don't know which one is treif.
You know, one of them.
But after you ate your 101st salami,
yes,
you know you've eaten a treif salami.
Yes, I know that there was a treif salami, but I didn't know which one it was.
What? So you're saying you can only eat 100. Is that what you're saying? So you're arguing on Patty.
I would say the odds are better if you only eat one salami.
Yeah, okay, but the odds aren't bad for two. Three's not terrible. Right, you know. I'm not a mathematician, but... So,
or you could say you could eat 40 salami.
What?
I know it's only for liquids, but there's an argument you could eat 40 salami.
Right, so again, that's not only that, but when it comes to... What, but you know what? But Jenny is right, because if let's say I have five salamis and one of them is not kosher.
That's a different percentage.
That is a different percentage. That's why I actually chose that case.
Okay,
yes.
I like that case.
Right?
So you got 20%.
You're allowed to eat the salamis again.
Still, I can't.
Because you only need 60 when it comes to liquids, but not when it comes to solids. Solids, it's good with even less.
That's interesting.
That is the rule. You just need a majority to be kosher.
But can you eat all of them?
What? Yes. So that's a three-way machlokes. Some people say you can eat all of them. Some people say you can only eat the amount that you know are kosher. And the other one has to be disposed of. And another person says, no, in our case, five different people can each eat a salami and you're okay.
Right.
Just one person cannot eat the five salamis.
Eating a salami.
Right. So those are the different perspectives. Okay, so this is what's called ta'aroves. If something gets mixed together, and bittel, things that become null and void. The case where the 2 ounces of the dairy creamer falls into the chicken soup, it becomes batel. Gone, goodbye. It's like it doesn't exist anymore. It gets absorbed.
So can we go back to the original case, which is I have a dairy pot that I made my hot chocolate in? and then later in the day, I made chicken.
We're going back there. That's right. Okay. We haven't forgot about that.
Okay.
Right? Don't worry. So that's that those. This is the basics. This is what we know. Now, as Chaya correctly pointed out, this doesn't apply for everything. So for chametz, it doesn't apply, right? Even a little bit of chametz gets into a lot of non-chametz. You've got problems.
Well,
there are other cases.
Pesach, you have some.
Before Pesach,
before you've nullified everything.
Correct. On Pesach. Right. There are other cases. By Truma, there are different rules. By Orla, there are different rules. These questions don't come up too often. Right? So that could be generally ignored. Yes? So again, the rules of Bittel would apply. Right, meaning that it's the same as regular non-kosher, and it's not the same as Pesach rules.
Even though I'm cooking before.
Correct, because
you're going to be doing nullification.
You can't do it on purpose.
Right.
Okay, but accidentally, yes. Right, so there are cases. Right, if something is a kaberia, if something is complete, that has different rules as well. Beria lo batel. Right, so, example, if I have a large salad with one bug in it, that's a problem. You can't say, oh, the bug, it's, right, waiter, there's a fly in my soup. The answer is not, but it's batel b'shishim, don't worry about it.
Oh.
That's not the punchline, right, because it's a beria. Waiter, I have a half a fly in my soup, then you can say it's batel b'shishim, right? So that is an exception to the rule as well. And there are other exceptions that come up in other cases, milsa da avida lataima, right? These are, we're just going over some basic rules. If I'm putting in some, let's say, I have treif cayenne pepper. I don't even know if they make that stuff.
Okay.
And I sprinkled a little bit into my cholent. Okay. It's inevitable, because it's so strong, you put such a small amount, it's going to be batel b'shishim. It's going to be less than 1/60. But because you'll
no,
be
it's a, not liquid. The pepper is not liquid.
Yeah, but it dissolves.
Okay.
It dissolves.
Double checking.
Right. So you might say, well, that's less than a 1/60 if I accidentally put in the non-kosher. No, since you can taste it, still, then that's not batel either. Right. That also is not nullified. That is another exception to the rule.
So if you're out in the sukkah and someone brings out a big salad and your people are taking salad and oh my God, there's a bug in the salad. What then?
You should remove the bug from the salad.
Got it.
And you can continue to have the salad.
Yes. There's an interesting Gemara which talks about different people who have different personalities. So they say there's some people out there, if they find a fly in the soup, they will throw out the entire soup. There are other people who out there, if they find a fly in the soup, they'll scoop up an amount of soup and throw it out with that.
Okay.
There's certain people who will take out the bug, suck off the soup, and then throw it out.
Oh.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
You want names?
Yes.
Sydney. So that's the, in general there are rules. The rules of when you have a mixture, a ta'aroves, there are times where the certain things get butto, they become nullified. So in liquids, in general, if it's less than 1/60. In solids, even if it's more than that, you have this rule of nullification. Okay, now let's go back to our case earlier. Our case earlier was the hot cocoa followed by the chicken soup. Now, how much hot cocoa was absorbed by the pot and it's going to be released into the chicken soup?
A little bit.
Not so much. Un poquito, we would say.
We did clean the pot.
What?
We cleaned the pot.
I hope we cleaned
the
pot.
We washed the pot. But again, you have to figure it's gone into all the whole side. You know, basically up to the rim and down at the bottom. And
you made a lot of cocoa.
Listen, Alexis.
That's fine. We don't judge here. This is a safe area. This is a sanctuary shul. So you would imagine that really it's inevitable that there are 60 times as much chicken soup as there is
milk.
So if
I just filled the pot up halfway.
Yeah, but it's full, all of it.
That's true.
As opposed to here, we're just talking it's about residue
yes.
in the pot. Right? Right? So you might think that in general, all of these issues, that I should always be allowed to eat what was cooked in the other pot because it is that small of amount. However, we have to assume that the pot itself is completely saturated with the item, with that which was cooked beforehand, and therefore you need 60 times amount of the walls compared to what's in the pot. This is mathematically not easy to figure out, but it's almost never true.
You mean you never have really more than 1/60th? I mean,
you never have less than 1/60th. You never have 60 more times of volume than you have the pot itself. What? Right. Right. So that's why you have a problem. That's why you have an issue there. Now, there are exceptions to the rule. Now, for example, let's say I pour rotten milk into the chicken soup.
Still in this dairy pot?
Spoiled
milk.
Wait.
My curds and whey. Right? Right, so what does Etty say? Right, those say if in fact it's a negative, then it is actually batel if it's a minority. Even.
If it's a negative, you mean if it's unwanted?
If it's unwanted, if it's bad for your taste.
No, but you're going to get sick.
Well, yeah, but you won't be over that.
We got good news and bad news.
Right.
But the good news is when we're done pumping your stomach, you won't get malchus.
The bad news is you're having lousy chicken soup. It tastes bad.
Right. So there is an assumption that once something sits out for 24 hours, it no longer is a net positive. Right?
You mean if it's something that ordinarily would be refrigerated.
Right. Yeah, anything that sits out for... inside, in the walls of a pot.
Oh.
Right? So if I cook my hot cocoa and then I don't use that pot again for 24 hours, and then 24 hours later I go and I cook chicken soup, right? I shouldn't have done that. But if I did it accidentally, in fact, the chicken soup is kosher. I can eat the chicken soup even though it was made in that pot.
So tell us about the pot now.
Well, what about the pot now?
And what about the bowl you're
going to
put soup in?
What about?
Put in a pleasure bowl.
But wait. Presumably this 24-hour thing, the pot was cleaned, right?
It was washed.
Right. There isn't hot cocoa sitting around for the last 24 hours, I hope. So again, because after 24 hours, once something is called a ben yomo, it's already one day old, at that point it's no Saint Tom with gam. It, in fact, is negative in terms of what it adds to what you're going to cook in it now. So therefore, in fact, as long as it's just the majority, not 60 times, you have bittel, it is, in fact, considered still kosher. So, now let me ask you this question. Let's say I cooked a chaz... I'm still in the pot.
Okay.
I haven't left the pot.
Okay.
Right? I've cooked a pig in my pot, right? Because the president offered a pig in every pot, and I got one. Right. So, and then after I cook my pig in a pot, now I want to cook my cachorro in the pot. So what would you say about that?
The same 24-hour thing?
Same 24-hour thing. As long as it's been 24 hours since it's been used, at that point it's no St. Tom with Gam.
Like that was intentional.
What? It was an accident. It happens.
The pig was accidental.
There's always an assumption that the husband does it on purpose,
what
but
was
no.
The accident?
I accidentally used my pig pot for the children. Right? That was an accident. I have my pig, but when the son-in-law comes over, you know, I'm not going to give it. I'm not going to make it look bad. So I use the kosher pots. So, with that, that is the concept. Yes.
So it means that if you have something trayed,
you didn't answer
a pot
anything.
That's trayed, right. But if it sits for 24 hours without being used, then
he hasn't answered the question.
Yes, Marcia, if once it sits for 24 hours, it technically would become kosher again. Now that does. Now the rabbis don't allow that. What? No, no, it shouldn't even be accidentally. It should be that, you know, once it becomes, it's not adding anything. So theoretically, it should be true. Marcia is right here, that I should not need milchik and fleshik pots. I should just make sure that they sit for a day before I use it. That should be with milchik. That should be with fleshik. That should be with treif also.
And that sounds like that's intentional.
Right, even if it would be intentional. However, the rabbi said you're not allowed to do that. You know why? Because people can get confused. Yesterday, I go and I make myself hot cocoa. And then 25 hours later, I want to make myself a chicken soup. I figure it hasn't been used for 25 hours. But I don't realize that my wife wanted a hot cocoa and she made one last night. Right? I went to sleep. And now she said, no, I could really use a hot cocoa. That would be really good for me. I find that warm milk helps me fall asleep. Right? So I'm not going to know about this. And now I've got a real problem. So therefore, there is a decision. Pots have to be milchiks or they have to be fleishiks. And the same thing, that when it comes, they have to be kosher. You can't just use non-kosher pots. They have to be kashered if you're going to use them afterwards. So those are the basics. Now, so therefore, really, as we all do, you have to have milchik pots and pans, you have to have fleishik pots and pans. However, if you accidentally use your milchik pan for fleishik or your fleishik pan for milchik and it has not been used within 24 hours, if that's the case, in general, the rule is that the food is actually kosher. But what about the pot? Now, the pot, you've got a problem because this pot is now both milchik and fleishik. And because it's milchiks and fleishiks, you can't use it for fleishiks because it's milchiks, and can't use it for milchiks because it's fleishiks.
Even if it's sat for 24 hours.
You have to go
right.
Kosher.
Right. So therefore, you have to kosher the pot. However, if the chicken soup, which was cooked in a milchik pot, had been sitting for 24 hours unused, then you can take your chicken soup remains fleishik. You can serve it in a fleishik bowl, and you can use a fleishik spoon with it, and that's all fine. Now, there is an important exception to this rule, and that's called a dover charif, something that is sharp.
I have a question before that. What you say regarding the pot, is that also true regarding like a spoon? So it's a
yes.
Soup in a fleishik pot, and then mix it with milk and a spoon.
Correct. Now the spoon you might be okay even without that.
Because it's littler,
that is correct. Right? If you take a spoon or a ladle or the like, or a spatula, and you are stirring your cholent with it, or your chicken soup with it, and you realize, oh, that's the milchig one, oy vey. So if you haven't used it in 24 hours, mazel tov, you just fartrafed your spoon, but your soup is okay. What if you did use it in the last 24 hours? What? Well, it depends if it is. How much? Well, the rule is you have to, the amount of spoon, not that goes into the soup, but that goes below the pot level.
What are you calling below the pot level?
Right. So again, I go and I stir my, if I have like a large ladle or something, my hand is going to be above the pot.
Above the rim of the pot.
Correct. Right?
Sometimes and you're then, in the rim. You're with
depends
the
if I'm using a small spoon.
Right.
Right. But if I'm using a ladle, then I'm not going to go that deep. Right? Okay. So in that right, so in that case, so a certain amount of my ladle goes into the soup. There's a certain amount that's not in the soup, but it's below the rim. And then there's another amount that's above the rim. So the amount of spoon that is below the rim, if that is less than a 60th of the amount of soup, even if it was used in the last 24 hours, I'm okay. Now, we okay?
Yeah.
We can go on?
Sharps.
Okay. Sharon will be giving a review class afterwards, so don't worry about everything.
I'd like to hear that.
Mm-hmm. And that'll be recorded as well.
I don't know what's happening. I keep my hard pots Are they really para?
I don't want to complain much, but I just want to say that Sharon does have fresh mandel bread in her house, and she didn't bring any. I'm just going to leave it at that. So, now, there is an exception of what we said, a davar charif. A davar charif is something that is sharp.
Spicy.
Right. So meaning, let's say I have a milchig pot, and the milchig pot hasn't been used in a week. So really, I should be okay. However, in the event that I will cook something sharp in it, for example, a onion, excellent example, right? An onion will draw out the taste in a positive way that something else cannot do. So therefore, if I cook an onion, let's say in a milchig pot, even if the milchig pot has not been used in the last 24 hours, that onion becomes really milchigs.
So what happens when you make your chicken soup and you put like vegetables in it?
So again, so let's take that case. So I go and I chop up vegetables to put in my chicken soup. So I chop up a carrot. And I chop up some celery and
leeks.
What?
Leeks.
Never leeks. But and I go and I put them in, right? And I find that oy vey, milchig knife. What's the story then?
Well, you didn't talk about the onion. So far, you're good.
What? So far, I'm good because, again, there's no heat involved, right?
So the onion doesn't become dairy?
I haven't even touched the onion. I just did celery and carrots.
You haven't touched the onion.
All what I've done so far. And then I throw them in, I'm okay. However, if I go and I chop up an onion with a milchig knife, so even though most things would not be affected by this because the knife was clean and there was no heat involved, right? If I chop an onion with a milchig knife, and then that onion actually becomes milchig, and if I throw it into the pot, I've got a problem. Now, it gets a little tricky here because I need 60 times what? I have a milchig knife, chopped an onion, chopped five onions with it. Five onions. I really like onions. And I throw them in. How much soup does there have to be for this still to remain kosher?
That's a lot of onions.
60 times what?
Five.
The volume.
Maybe
of
the amount of
meat. The onion. The onion was turned in.
So yes, most people.
Each onion was cut separately.
Yes, each onion was cut separately. But the onions, as Jenny points out, cannot have more milchig than the knife had. The most it can do is get all the milchig out of the knife. Right. So therefore, according to Jenny, who we follow in this case, right, as long as you have 60 times the amount of the size of the blade of the knife, it is still kosher. Yes. Got it? All right, so this is where it gets a little tricky. Because in general, I don't have a problem. An onion is a davar charif. It will absorb it. But even if I cut multiple onions and throw them all in, you're not getting more milchix than was in the blade to start with. So what do we say? A davar charif, two important things. One, it can extract milchix, fleishix, not kosher, even if there's no heat involved, A. And B, it can extract it even though it's been more than 24 hours.
But it can only extract the amount that's present.
Correct, but it can't extract more than there is to be extracted. Got it? Yes.
Does the knife remain constant or a constant? Let me get the whole thing out. What I'm trying to say, is there any argument for... I understand it doesn't get greater than the knife. I got that. But I'm saying, is the first onion more milchig than the fifth onion? That's my question. Is there dissemination?
Nope.
Okay.
There's an equal... Not only that, I'm going to go different. Let's say I cut two onions, and I put each one in a pot of chicken soup. You know, we're having a lot of guests tonight. I'm making two chicken soups. How much does it have to be in each chicken soup to undo the milchigidi of the onions? Each one needs 60 times knife, or to combine they do?
I would think 50 and 50.
Combined.
Well, maybe once
you get a whole plate full of the others. Yeah, if you mix the soups together,
together, I think you're okay, but if combined, but if you don't mix the foods together,
what?
If the knife only has a defined amount and you've cut two onions with it, doesn't each onion have half of the amount that the knife has?
Maybe the first one
well, that was sort of where I was going.
If you mix the soups, I think it's the combined amount.
But are you allowed to mix the soups?
Why not?
Well, let me ask you this question, Jenny. Let's say I have 1 ounce of milk falls into 50 ounces of chicken soup. Can I throw in another 20 ounces of chicken soup? But your mother said no. That's what she
said. It's accidental.
It's accidental, but you're trying to fix the situation, so you add more chicken.
So in general, we assume that you're not allowed to fix the situation.
Oh, I'm not allowed to fix it.
In general. Some people say that in rabbinic cases you can fix it, and this would be rabbinic. Why would this be rabbinic? Anyone remember from previous classes?
Chicken.
Very good. I said chicken and milk is only rabbinic, so but we don't assume that way. We assume that even in that case, you're not allowed to fix it.
Try and fix. Oh, I would have tried to fix it.
Okay, so what? So you're cutting two onions with the milk,
it's not.
So when you're
cutting
the onion, it's taking away
from
the milk, it's not? Yeah, that's
it's
what
not,
I was
wondering.
The knife
goes
into
the onion,
not the onion.
I want to make my knife part by cutting onions. So the answer is that it does not take it away, and it will remain that way, but you have to assume that there's no way that more than all of it was absorbed.
Right.
Right? That is just not possible that I can observe, that I could, you know, you can't get. Right. However, if I would put the onions in different soups, it would have to be 60 times for each one. Each one would be 60 times the blade or the onion, whichever was smaller.
It doesn't diminish as you cut. Right.
More
onions.
Correct. So
okay.
This. So again, if I accidentally chop up a whole bunch of onions, I'm making onion soup, okay? And I chop up 10 onions with my milking knife, right? And for whatever my soup base is, fleishigs, this onion soup. So make sure not to put the grated cheese with the French bread. So, right? And then if there is 60 times the amount of soup as there is the blade of the knife, even though there are tons of onions that got cut with it,
in the clear.
Even though it's hard,
right?
Put one onion, put 10 onions.
Well, again, you can't put in any.
But
accidentally, it doesn't matter at this point. In that odd case, the rabbi will ask you how large is your blade, which will freak you out. But that would be the correct question. So the pot in that case, the pot's fine. Right, because you have a fleishig soup and a fleishig pot.
It's the knife calling the pot okay.
Yeah, that's how the saying goes. So again, that's why onions are a big deal. Because all these rules of, well, it's no sing tam with gam, so therefore the food's still good because, you know, it's these pot doesn't really give anything out. Well, that's not really true once you're dealing with onions, right? Oh, there wasn't heat involved. Well, that doesn't really apply when you're dealing with onions. Right, so you deal with something that is particularly sharp, a sharp pepper perhaps,
a lemon,
correct. Right?
Lemon is sharp?
Yes.
A lemon, we assume, is also
orange?
Sharp. No, an orange, we assume.
What about
right, so I'll give you an example. So let's say you go out to a non-kosher bar, right, a restaurant, and you order a Sprite. And they serve you the Sprite, of course, with?
A lemon wedge.
If they cut that lemon wedge with a non-kosher knife, then that lemon is not kosher. So what do you do now? Right, so even if it does, we assume it's okay. If it does a little bit, you can take the lemon, throw it out, and drink the soda. You buy a salad, and the salad has in it radishes.
Or a lemon wedge.
Okay. Not in a bag, you're not going to get one of those.
Oh, I don't need a bag.
Right.
No,
so again, if you have radishes, you have onions. If you're in a non-kosher establishment, you remove the radish, you remove the onion, and then you can eat your lettuce and tomatoes. Assuming.
Yeah.
What? Right, correct. Sit there at your business meeting.
So the hot pepper, lime, lemon, radish,
a pickle, are you? Shallots for sure. Scallions, yes. Leeks. I don't know. I've never eaten a leek.
Leeks are in the onion family.
Yeah, and throw them out? Yes. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't buy the chachil because who wants to deal with that? But halachically, tomatoes, yes. They're yummy. And they're not sharp. You can't cut yourself on a tomato. Like what? So again, you're saying if I'm cooking something and I put in some cayenne pepper. Yeah, we're a little confused by this concept of milk and spice. It's milk and spice. You shouldn't put it in. Okay, it's the same thing. What do you mean?
All the
volume, whatever the volume is.
Is it different if the sharp is like, okay, for example, her chicken powder? Usually those chicken powders are made with onions, garlic, like they have things.
So the,
does that
right.
matter?
So it depends. It's an overall. So for example, here's a big kula. Even though onions are sharp, sautéed onions are not.
What kind?
Sautéed. What?
So you have to get them sautéed by putting them in the pot.
Correct. But if you sauté them in a par pot and then you put them into something else, it's not going to. Then you cut sautéed onions with a knife or you go and use it.
Mild
then,
or sweet at that point.
Right. That it is no longer.
Green onions are sharp, but leeks are not.
I think this isn't the halachic question. This is a practical question, and I think that they're not. Yeah.
I don't think green onions are sharp either.
I don't know, scallions.
Scallions.
Yes. Okay. You cut? No.
What was the question?
No, because again, you cut it before it was sautéed. If you sautéed it and then you cut it, you could what? Well, you put it in the food processor at that point. It's no one considered. Okay? Okay? Please.
I have a question about food.
So you should ask it.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. On all the cooking shows, they have these tubes of tomato paste. And you can squeeze out a tablespoon, two tablespoons, you can use it. If you take a 5-6 ounce can, or Lieber's or Geffen or whatever, you have to open
Kroger.
The can. And once the can is open, you cannot keep it. You take out what you need and you end up throwing out the rest.
No,
I have
it.
Never
please
found...
Please put it in a Ziploc bag.
Just put it in a Ziploc
no,
bag.
No, take the tomato paste out,
and
put it in the Ziploc bag.
Okay, my question is, has anybody come across, I have not seen in any of the markets, a tube of tomato paste for the Ziploc. Has anybody seen it?
I haven't looked for it. But now I will.
What
do you think,
Rabbi?
Has anybody
seen
that? Take it out of the can, though.
Yes. Right, so it's the same thing. It, again, if it's more than 24 hours, doesn't matter. Right. Correct. So, now, one other point, and I guess there are people who are chomping at the bit to get into shul already.
Oh, no.
Davening. So, with all that in mind, this idea of no sein tamu fgam, there are other ways for it to become pogum other than just aging 24 hours. So
what's
for
example,
pogum.
Pogum.
Right. So how? What would be bad? I mean it's a net negative. So for example, if I take my pot and after I make my hot cocoa in it, I wash it with detergent. Take some palm olive, rub it in there. So the assumption is that whatever was
gone at that point.
Right. So in the event that a person uses detergent to wash their silverware, to wash their pots, etc., right, that accomplishes right away what you would otherwise have to wait 24 hours for.
Well, that's standard practice.
Say that again.
What?
That's what we do.
That's why this is important.
You hope that's what we do.
Right? If you wash it with dish detergent, right, that also accomplishes the same thing. Meaning, same case. So I go and I use the pot 24 hours ago, but I don't wash it. And Chaya comes at night and she makes herself the hot cocoa, and then of course she washes it nicely with the detergent, etc. Right? And now the next day, right, this was 12 o'clock, 12 in the afternoon, I make a chicken soup. So the rule should have been, well, my chicken soup was treif because it's only been 12 hours. However, because it was washed with detergent, detergent accomplishes this idea of no sein tamu fgam. Detergent makes it that it in fact does not add positively to the chicken soup, and therefore, because of that, in fact, it is all good. And even though I'm going to have to kosher the pot afterwards, the soup will remain kosher. Also,
does it affect the other items in the dishwasher? No. That's just that potent.
Right.
Rabbi, if you wash and train pot with detergent and hot water, but you want to wash around and all that, the things you're using, the sponge or whatever that you have to throw it out afterwards?
Well, again, it depends. Unless you're using boiling water, no. I think we had mentioned earlier that assuming you're not wearing gloves, it's probably not that hot.
So if it's not hot, then you would have to throw that item out.
If it is hot, you'd have to throw it out. If it's not hot, you're okay.
It has to be what?
Really boiling water. Really.
It has to be hot. No, really, really.
You can't make it so you have to throw it out.
So if it's not boiling or to the point of boiling, you would have to throw it out after.
Either way, you're saying it backwards. Because then it would be absorbed into the thing.
Oh, I didn't know it would get absorbed.
Yeah. Okay.
Are we going to talk about like the para of dairy equipment, meat equipment?
But yeah, we can, but not today because I think our time is up. So we will continue next week. We have two more classes.
Nice.
All right.
Today's Tuesday.
Today's all day long.
Did you know she's going to Iceland?
How are you?
No, I gotta go. It's 10 o'clock. No, I need to have my material.
Okay, so now I'm going to do your
shift. Just kidding.
Everything disposable and you have to